Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Prairie Doc physician Dr. Andrew Ellsworth hosts On Call with the Prairie Doc tonight. You can see it on SDPB-TV at 7 Central, 6 Mountain. Tonight's topic is lessons from pandemics past. Dr. Ellsworth, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So much of us are looking to the future, and it's time to maybe look back in the past a little bit. Tell us something about tonight's show.
Yeah, we're excited to have our current state epidemiologist, Dr. Joshua Clayton, on the show, and our former state epidemiologist, Dr. Lon Keitlinger. And so I'm really happy to have both of them on the show because we are wanting to look at past pandemics and past epidemics and what can we learn from them? What were some of the similarities and differences between those and COVID-19, our current pandemic? And so we'll have an expert on current matters, and Dr. Keitlinger has a lot of experience from being our state epidemiologist for, I think, 20 years or so before. So
right.
I think there's a lot of lessons we can be learned.
That's going to be a fascinating hour. I'm already interested to tune in. How far back are we going? Are we looking at, you know, 1918 pandemic, or we're looking at things that really are in living memory of a lot of us?
Yeah, we'll do both. I don't anticipate we'll go much beyond 1918, but that Spanish flu pandemic certainly has a lot of interesting things to talk about with it, how big it was and how worldwide it killed at least 50 million people. It's easy to say, oh, my goodness, it could be just like that. But there were a lot of differences back then too. I mean, you know, medicine's come a long ways in 100 years, and the way the virus behaved was different. But in unfortunately, some similarities are that we don't have immunity against this current virus, just like they didn't have immunity then. And so, when it comes down to it, the isolation practices and social distancing are best forms of defense at the current time, just like they were back then.
Yeah, if we had an Images of the Past conversation with the state archivist and SDPB's Brian Gevick, and they were, you know, talking about some of the advice that was in newspapers that sounded very similar to what we're having right now about not gathering in groups. And tell us a little bit about how this virus behaves. You know, you mentioned, because there has been, what do we know? You and I think I talked with you 2 weeks ago, and we were still learning so much. What do you know about how this virus behaves that you didn't know 2 weeks ago?
We're still learning a lot every day. And unfortunately, I think one thing that's getting hit home more so is how there can be people that are completely asymptomatic, not having symptoms, not having even cold symptoms, and they could still be carrying the virus and spreading the virus. And that's it has such a long incubation period where someone may have come in contact and it's almost been 2 weeks and then they start to show signs, and they could have been spreading it in the meantime. On the average, it looks to be about 5 days of an incubation period, but it can be as little as 2 days too. And so just this learning of all the ways that we need to protect ourselves and be leery of you know, everyone, and take precautions that we can, you know, with washing our hands and covering our mouths and avoiding contact when we can. We'll just have to continue.
One of the things that keeps coming up is this idea of how far can it spread? Can it hang in a cloud? Is it, you know, what is it, just from breathing, or do you have to actually cough? Do you have to touch? What are you sort of advising people when it comes to, like, how vigilant do you have to be? I mean, clearly 6 feet apart is, everybody gets that. You know, you have to at least do that. But then some people are saying, like, it could be even more contagious than that. It could spread even further. What are your thoughts on that and some of the things that are coming out? Because we're not sure, as I understand it.
Yeah, and we're still learning. You know, from some of those ships where they cleared the people out, they're still detecting some virus. So we know it must stay in the air some. and on hard surfaces. And it's not just through respiratory droplets, but also it can spread via the fecal-oral route. And that's not something we've talked about as much lately, but that's how often the stomach flu can spread easily. And so anyone that's been to the bathroom and if they didn't wash their hands really well, you know, for 20 seconds and everything, they can touch a doorknob or touch a serving spoon, and then it can spread that way too. So before we eat anything, we really got to make sure we're washing our hands well and just trying to avoid touching things and then touching our mouth and our faces.
Yeah. Are there lessons from pandemic pasts that give you optimism with this? Because I think a lot of people are willing, the majority of South Dakotans, according to the guests we just had, are really willing to do physical distancing and social isolation, or whatever we're calling it right now, as long as it takes. You know, like they're all in, they're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But what I'm wondering is, are we waiting for a breakthrough, either in testing, how often we test in a new, easier test? Are we waiting for a breakthrough in therapeutics? And I'm wondering, when you look at pandemics past, were there breakthroughs that changed everything? Or did they just really, I mean, is it just grind it out, wash your hands, stay at home?
Well, you know, unfortunately, with a lot of pandemics past, they didn't have the luxuries we have now. So, you know, instantly, within a few weeks, we had the genomic sequence of this virus all figured out. And that's going to help us go a long ways towards finding its origins and what we can do about it and to come up with a vaccine. Now, that's still a ways out, but the longer we can delay the spread and buy ourselves time and have give some of these studies time to see what medications are helpful and what ways of using the ventilators are most helpful, mm-hmm. And what breathing treatments are most helpful. We're still learning things every day. You know, if you compare to the 1918 pandemic that was so bad, it does look like that probably had a higher rate of killing people than this virus. And it also, you had World War I contributing. So people had to get mixed and get sent together in army camps and on the battlefields. And a lot of attention was to the war that wasn't to measures and that needed to be done to help prevent the spread. And people still went to parades and still spread the virus that way. And so here we can focus on combating this virus as an entire world instead of trying to combat this virus while also fighting each other in a world war.
Right.
I think that's one big benefit. And they didn't have antibiotics back then either. So now we have antibiotics to help treat secondary infections that arise.
Sure.
So that's helpful too. You know, with H1N1 in 2009, that influenza epidemic, at first we thought it was a lot deadlier than it was. And then once we really sat down and figured it out, it wasn't all that much more deadly than the normal influenza. Now, it still killed a lot of people because we didn't have immunity and it infected more people than a normal flu season. So, you know, with this virus, we still don't know what the case fatality ratio is, how many people die compared to how many get it. And I think you were just talking how with your past guests, how, you know, the more we can get tests going and figure out who has it, and the more we could help get that figured out.
Yeah. The show tonight is Pandemics Past, Lessons from Prairie Doc Physician Dr. Andrew Ellsworth, hosts this week's program. He also has as his guests State Epidemiologist Dr. Josh Clayton and former State Epidemiologist Dr. Lon Keitlinger. Hey, thanks, Dr. Ellsworth. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.